Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Hi, everybody. It's Griff. You know me. I'm your pal. I'm the host of YWC Football Talk. And this is a very special episode of YWC Football Talk because for the first time in the history of the show, after a Patriots game, a part of this series, I can say that the Patriots win 25-6 over the New York Jets. All gas, no breaks. This team looked really good today, and they made Zach Wilson look really, really bad. Sorry, I have to lick my chops in when I get there. Gotta make Jets fans eat crow. But Jets fans, I'll get to you in a minute. This game as a whole, like, I didn't expect this. I honestly picked the Patriots to I picked the Jets to cover the spread just because I thought about this a lot, and I'm like, look, this game could be very similar to what last year's was, you know, very high scoring when the Patriots went at the end. Last year's 30-27. For the second time this year, too, the Patriots hit the under. So will they hit an over for once? We don't know. But Zach Wilson threw four picks. Jones actually looked pretty okay today. 22 for 30, 186 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, with QBR of 89. Zach Wilson, on the other hand, 19 for 33, 210 yards, with four interceptions. Interceptions were caught. J.C. Jackson had one, Devin McCourty had one, Jonathan Jones had one, and Devin McCourty, and Adrian Phillips. J.C. Jackson had two. My bad. I thought Jonathan Jones had one, so my apologies to Jonathan Jones. As a whole, the differences between week one and week two are very similar. With week two, I felt personally that the defense for the Patriots was better. I thought the Patriots' defense, you know, they didn't let as many explosive plays happen. Zach Wilson obviously did shoot himself in the foot a lot, throwing those four picks and having a really bad first half. But from a perspective of how they looked, from what they did against Miami to what they did against New York, this team was completely different, in my opinion. Where New York, they were giving up some plays. They only really capitalized when, you know, Tua threw the pick when Judon went after him. But besides that, like today, you saw this D-line getting through game pressure. Juwan Bentley had a sack. There was a bunch of other sacks. I'm going to look it up right now just so I know... I know exactly what's going on. Sorry, folks. Like I said, I do this on the fly. Sacks today were recorded by Josh Uche had two. Carl Davis had one. And then Matthew Judon had one. So you know what? Matthew Judon, guy I'm slowly falling for. Grand Valley product out of Louisiana, I believe. But no, as a whole with the Patriots today, I'll get into the offense in a minute because I really want to celebrate the defense because the defense just came out. Look, when a quarterback has a bad game, you're supposed to capitalize on his mistakes. And what did the Patriots do? They capitalized on Zach Wilson's poor mistakes and his interceptions. Because a lot of the balls, it was just him chucking it up, just hoping. It was those, like, hope and a prayer balls that a lot of the times, unless you're an elite quarterback, you're not going to catch. Like, it's going to go poorly. And even, too, there was some that, like, slipped through Corey Davis's hands. And then there was just ones where, look, we just capitalized and took advantage. But at the same time, too, and we'll get into the offense in a minute, we had to capitalize there, but I'll talk about that in a sec. But with the defense as a whole, this is kind of like a stepping stone in the right direction to kind of show the world, hey, look, the Patriots aren't the team from last year. The Patriots aren't just this, like, you know, pushover whatever team that's going to, like, not exactly be good. But the other thing I would like to add to all of this is just, look, I feel like this team, it's going to slowly evolve and grow as the season just continues and continues and continues. And now this is only week two, so we still have a long ways away to go. But if this is a telltale sign of how the defense can do, if you're capitalizing against a bad excuse for quarterback play, I like it. That's not a knock on the Jets. It's not a knock on Wilson. I'm just saying, when a quarterback has porous performances like Zach Wilson did today against New England, New England had to capitalize against that. And what did New England do? They capitalized. They got the interceptions. They got the sacks. They pressured Zach Wilson a lot there. There was plays where Zach would not throw the ball. They made, like, that was the other thing, too. I felt like the Patriots defense made the Jets, and Mike LaFleur played a scared scheme. Now with the Jets, we'll talk about them in a minute, but I just feel like, look, there's opportunity here for this team, but at the same time, too, you got to realize, look, you got to teach your quarterback that welcome to the AFC East, because that's literally all I got to say. Welcome to the AFC East, because that's what's going to happen, and we see them again in a month, October 24th at Gillette. Will it be a different Jets team then than it is now? I don't know, but at the same time, too, Zach Wilson and the Jets, they got a long ways away to go before they're truly a playoff contender in my mind. Now I want to talk about the offense, because the offense today, they looked good. There weren't any turnovers. There wasn't any performances. Yeah, Durant looked really bad on the offensive line. We were down Trent Brown. David Andrews played a good game at center. Damian Harris, much better game this week than last. Obviously, he had the game-losing fumble. But this week, too, he showed his potential. He showed that, look, this is who he can be. Damian Harris had a great game today. Nelson Aguilar got involved. Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne got involved. Tight ends. Man, there's that one dime from Mac Jones to Hunter Henry. That was just perfect. Bellissimo. But my only con to the defense in the whole defensive scheme, and offensive scheme for today, excuse me, is as my iPhone watch keeps, my Apple watch keeps going off, excuse me. My one big con today is closing. It's like how they say with business or sales, real estate, you got to be able to close the deal if you want to be successful. The Patriots are going to have to go out there and close drives going forward, because after this, the schedule's not going to be exactly easy. We have the Saints next week. We have the Bucs, the Texans, which we'll see what happens. The Texans are 1-1. They looked pretty good against Cleveland today. And then the Dallas Cowboys. And then obviously we know the stretch through November and December. So there's not a lot of layup cupcake games in there where we're going to go into it being like, hey, we can guarantee a win. So they're going to have to work on that. They're going to have to close better. And then the offensive line as a whole is just going to have to play better. Because with that being said, with the defenses, the Saints' defensive front is very scary. They do have Cam Jordan. They do have DeMario Davis. I'm just trying to think of some other names. They do have guys who can, you know, get after the quarterback. And we do recognize this as well, because Saleh was throwing the blitz like crazy. Saleh was throwing blitz a lot at Jones. And that's how you can fluster a rookie QB. But Jones, I feel like, look, he picked up the signs for it. And the thing that I say, too, that I like a lot more than with Mac's game than I did with Cam's was Mac's ability not to crumble under pressure. Did he get sacked a bunch? Yeah, but that's going to happen. What I liked about it, though, is the fact that he never really gave up and the fact that he just kept on going through and didn't, just stand in the pocket and take a hit. No, he tried to escape. And even, too, he recognized when, hey, look, there is pressure. And he did recognize, too, when there's pressure. And he did recognize, too, hey, look, when there's a blitz coming. So, like, obviously, like I said, Marcus May got a sack. I believe Sheldon Rankin's got one. Franklin Myers got one. But at the end of the day, too, Mac is slowly evolving, and we're seeing these rookie growing pains with him, but at the same time, too, you're seeing his potential, because if you give him time in the pocket, he's going to chuck and sling it and get it downfield. Like, we saw it today, too, with the dime to Hunter Henry. He had a couple nice throws to Jacoby Myers, even Kendrick Bourne, and they were starting to throw some trick plays out there, too, with some flea flickers and just some halfback tosses back to the quarterback, and then they would just let Mac chuck it downfield. Like, there's little things like that in the playbook that they're slowly evolving with, and I feel like eventually as time goes, they're going to continually just start to slowly peel back the curtain of the potential of this New England Patriots team. So that's my feelings. Look, from a Patriots fan perspective, I'm happy. From a Pats fan perspective, it was a good win. I get to go into work tomorrow and be like, victory Monday. Because the feeling after a 1 o'clock win is great. Like, 4 o'clock games are cool, but I like 1 o'clock wins because you have the rest of the day just to celebrate and bask in it. And most of our games are 1 o'clock this year. So there'll be a lot more of those, hopefully. But now moving on to the New York Jets, and the only real thing I have to say is, look,
I said this in the podcast with Big Rat, and I still agree with it. If the Jets continue to play this way, Zach Wilson will get hurt eventually. Like, you can't continually have him. He was seeing ghosts. I know I said it today on Twitter as a joke and everything, but at the same time, too, if you are the New York Jets, you can't let your quarterback play scared, because that's eventually how they're going to get hurt, and that's eventually how they're going to make mistakes. You're playing a Denver Broncos team next week that has a very explosive defense. Won me money line today and won me survival. Saints fucked me. But that's the thing. Like, look, the O-line's going to have to get better. The bright spots from the Jets were Michael Carter. Michael Carter, I think, is going to be a really good running back in this league. And also, too, Corey Davis is still the guy. Corey Davis, I think, is still a very good and very capable receiver in this league. Now, with that being said, is he a wide receiver one on a Super Bowl caliber team? I don't know. Is he a good wide receiver one on a team like the Jets that, you know, they're kind of in this rebuild, like, hey, prepare for pain coming ahead? Yeah. And then, too, also, I liked Ryan Griffin at tight end, and Tyler Croft was the other one. But yeah, and then the defense too has flourishes, but at the same time too, you're dealing with a rookie head coach, you're dealing with a rookie QB, so there's gonna be a lot more growing pains with them. Now, I think if you give them a few years, maybe they'll turn into something, but for now, I think the Jets just have to make sure they keep Zach healthy. Because if you don't, you're gonna get into this Burrow and Tua stuff where it's like, look, how are they gonna be? Because you heard all those training camp reports about Burrow playing scared continuously throughout training camp, and you do not want your star quarterback playing that way. Like, that's literally all. But you know what? It is what it is. And anyway, we're moving on to next week. Next week, the Patriots play the Saints at 1:00. It is rivalry week in my house, because many of you know my father is a Saints fan, and also too Matt Beast, our resident Saints fan here on YWC Football Talk. We'll be here Thursday night as we're going to get ready for week 3. We're also going to do a deep dive into the Saints-Patriots game. We'll just get both perspectives, get both sides, see how they're both doing. And then also, too, tomorrow, Danny will be back here to give more of a fuller recap of the game, as he was there today at MetLife Stadium to watch the Jets play the Patriots. So he'll give his perspective, and then we'll recap week 2, and we'll go from there. But for anyway, guys, for now, thank you very much for listening. This has been episode number 2 of the series with the YWC Football Talk Patriot Game Reviews, episode number 110, actually. So we're in the 110s now, folks. It feels pretty good. So you know what? Episode 111 and 112 tomorrow, and then 113 coming with the Patriots postgame show for the game against the Saints next week. But you know what? For now, guys, just keep on enjoying NFL Week 2. And thank you very much for listening. Have a good one.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.